Jason Navarra invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
With Richard Marsland on the buttons.
Oh, he's so on the buttons, that bloke. And today, 2 weeks to go, and we salute another outgoing Triple M staple. The Black Thunders, what happened to him? What really happened to him? And what next for him?
Johnson P. Squires finally lets us in on how Richard lives his life.
We'll meet Australia's grumpiest young men.
Teenagers getting action thanks to Get This.
We'll play What the Hell Do You Call That?
What tastes better than Milo?
Also today, we'll remember our most name-droppy co-host. The PM goes out of sync and Peter Garrett sings. Oh, hang on, that's not that unusual. Sorry.
What stuff goes with pears?
And in the second hour, and indeed the third and fourth hour, Limo is here. He used to work with Richard Marsland and he knows where the lotion is buried.
In LA, everybody and their mama sell dope. They're trying to stop it. So what can Tony do to make a profit?
Hang out with Ben Cousins. Yes, it's all coming up on Get This, where things are getting ridiculous.
I mean, where have we got to? I mean, in plain person's English, in plain man's English. I mean, what's all this about?
Yeah, let's have some plain English, Richard.
It's not a crime at all.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, I can be with Frank today and tell him to shoot you.
Yeah, we know.
If he shoots you and I didn't mean to tell him, I'm just joking. They shoot me, huh? Just say he shot you.
Mm-hmm. Don't shoot me, Frank.
That's for sure. But I'm just saying, if I told Frank to jump off the Harbour, I've told you mucking around at the front of the Harbour Bridge, you jump off the Harbour Bridge and you jump. I don't want you to jump off the Harbour Bridge.
That's much clearer.
Doesn't want you.
Is the Oils. I'll get this at Triple M. Welcome to the Dream World. Thank you, Midnight All. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, everybody, wherever you are listening. It's Get This around the nation on Triple M. I think you're fine for another week. Yes, second to last one with myself, Tony Martin, Australia's most respected broadcaster.
That's drawing a long bow, Tony.
Oh, all right. We've got Ed Cavalli. I know Mr. Rudd's a fan of all of his segments.
I take bits and pieces out of them all.
Sure, and Richard Marsland's here pushing buttons, wearing his brand new Wonder Bra.
Well, Tony, what it does, it tends to push together.
Yeah, I know. Hello.
Excuse me.
Very effective. Hello, wherever you're listening around the world. And guys, I don't know if you heard about the Save Get This rally in Tokyo over the weekend.
Oh, no, I didn't hear. No,
was it done at breakfast time? Because we are a Tokyo breakfast show.
We certainly are. I just like to point out when I say rally, was two blokes.
To rally.
But there they are. Oh, here it is. I don't know who it's from. There doesn't seem to be a name on it. But me and my mate Pete got onto the roof of the Yamada Scallop Company due to their alleged links with the thugs in the scallop industry and held our own two-man rally to the bemusement of passers-by. There they are, standing on the roof.
Well, it's three blokes because it's two blokes and then one person to take the photograph.
Okay, so there you go. Already the numbers have doubled.
Look at this. Mino Reiki, Save Get This.
I'd like to see a moody Lost in Translation YouTube video
from these two of
the Get This rally in Tokyo. Mm.
You say that, but all you're really thinking about is the opening shot of Lost in Translation.
Mm. That's right.
That is where my mind wandered to. I remember this film. I didn't know much about it, and it started, and I thought, this is going to be excellent. This is going to be one of those films you just don't forget.
And then downhill from the first shot, was it?
No. I liked it. I liked all Bill Murray's stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's what you
Johansson
thought.
Can pout it. Tokyo, all she wants. I'm into that.
Okay. We were meant to be talking about the Save Get This rally.
So,
as you can see, the numbers are behind us there.
It's good.
What else is happening over the weekend? Well, we were just observing off air that Richard's a little bit more up himself today.
Massively.
Like, he didn't really want that Wonder Bra joke to be about him.
No, he wanted it to be about me.
He tried to sell it to me as one for you.
No way.
And we're going, what's this? And then we went, oh, of course. Last night, he appeared on Rove for the first time as himself.
Standing next to you two guys.
That's right.
Terrific fun.
Sure, for about half a second.
Yep.
How long did we make it on screen for, do we know?
I think it ended up being about maybe 2 or 3 seconds.
We didn't see it.
That's not bad.
It was during Ryan's segment.
I saw it. I've watched it 7 or 8 times.
Have you?
Just to monitor and coach my performance.
I remember when we did it on last week.
Yes.
You demanded an extra take.
Yeah.
Just to get your moody look right.
Is that okay?
Well, not by me.
But is that, you know, has that turned things around for you in at the roving offices now that you're no longer just stooge, bloke from the left.
Dead body.
Man covered in lotion. dropped out of moving vehicle. You know, suddenly you're Richard Marsland as himself. I mean, is there a new prestige, a new aura?
Well, obviously I'm known for my character work.
Yeah, and it's
a shame to push that out to sea. Once you start playing yourself, I mean, it's just turning into the Cannonball Run movies now. It's all very strange, but I wouldn't mind getting back into some more character work.
Some more of your Scottish accent work?
Yeah, some more.
Because that wasn't offensive at all.
Some more kilt stuff.
It was meant to be Mel Gibson, I think.
Oh, right.
If you remember.
Very accurate.
What sort of emails are you getting over your desk?
Look, here's the thing. We can talk Richard all we want, but the real stuff's going on with the kids.
Mark
Raymond has emailed in. He's in New South Wales, and he says, I'm a lanky 16-year-old at an all-boys school, and 10 weeks ago I was struggling to attract ladies.
Right.
But then I remembered your words of advice. Student drama equals high-quality tale. So I auditioned for the next drama production, a musical, with the girls' school. I sang a few classics for the audition. Flowers, Flowers, Drifting by the Payane went down particularly well. Yes. And lo and behold, I got the part.
Wow.
By final night, I had hooked up with two different chicks in the cast and another one not involved in the production who had enjoyed the show. This is dizzy stuff.
You see?
Mm.
That's what we've done over 2 years. We've developed a love of the theatre in our audience. They love the theatre.
Tone, that's three chicks from one production.
This is good stuff.
Who
man?
Said yeah. theatre is dead in this country?
This kid's like McConaughey. This is that's a good ratio. Two different chicks in the cast and then one who'd enjoyed the show.
Not only have we fostered an interest in the arts amongst our listenership, we've helped them achieve.
Oh, what?
Listen to this. Charlie Hindle from Victoria has emailed in to say, thanks, guys, for helping me get an A on my creative writing class at school. That's
what?
Right. We did it.
Okay, how so?
Because this is what he said. I wrote a story about a baby. Sorry, I'll start this again because I can't get this wrong.
Yeah. Come on.
Okay, here we go. I wrote a story about a baby who was
born and spawned in Bay 13
of the MCG with nothing to eat but
Dixie ice creams,
who was found by a bloke from the
Netherlands
and raised in
Mortielli,
and through
hard work
and
guts,
the
fat kid from Mortielli High School
leaves for
Cambridge 2 hours out of London,
where he encounters
the thugs in the scallop industry,
who are actually
scallops,
and he fights them by throwing a
fat cigarette
and setting them on fire. A page and a half later, he assembles an army of
puppets
and
ferrets
to bring down those who he sees as being
cheap, nasty,
and
downright boring.
And it all ends with him being killed by a giant fish.
Yibbity yibbida, here we go.
Wow.
Oh, nice work on the buttons, Richard Marsland.
Thank you.
That's a prize-winning essay by a young student here in Australia.
I'm so proud.
The art.
Mm.
You can have them. Here, get this. As Kiss Chasey opinions. What a load of rubbish here at Get This on Triple M. That's right, around the nation.
Hello.
Yes, Richard's here. Ed's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
It's all happening. You know, it's been a big year, really, apart from, you know, all our dramas. Mm. So much that's been going on. What was the saddest news for you this year, Ed Cavalier, just off the top of your head?
Overall?
Yeah.
They were going to bring back bubblegum paddle pops.
That didn't happen?
No, and then Streets went with this like ludicrous notion. They went with kind of caramel swirl. When everybody knows that rainbow paddle pops are caramel flavoured as it is, why would I need a swirl?
Mm. Well, good question. I guess that's the big event of the year.
Yeah. No, and just on that tip, I'm still mourning Monaco bars.
The Monaco bar.
Give it up, Rich. They were a folly when they came out, and they're a folly now.
They're not a folly.
If you want to have a biscuit and ice cream, get a packet of Tim Tams or whatever, Oreos or whatever you like, and put ice cream in them.
And of course, the Tower Burger. That's another thing.
Yeah, Tower Burger.
Our listeners.
It's been a horrible year for your fast foods.
There's so many sad things have gone and disappeared over the course of 2007. It's sad news, I think, for radio fans today, right across Australia. The Austereo Network, we're part of that network.
We are.
Are retiring the Black Thunders. And the Rock Patrols. Instead, we will be focusing on a new fleet of more environmentally friendly but unbranded station vehicles.
Oh.
Undercover Thunders. Oh, it's going to be like Jump Street. That could be fun.
I don't understand. Isn't the idea to promote, though? I don't get that.
Duh.
I can think of a few reasons why perhaps they weren't as cost-effective as they might have been.
Oh, because of the people who are driving them stealing all the stuff in the back.
What about using the Thunders for weekend fishing trips, anything like that?
I've never taken it to a fishing trip, but it's done some house moving. It helped
cart
stuff to a party. But it's still promoting the station.
That's right.
Yep.
Two guys loading things into the back of it for a party is still station promotion.
It's high profile larceny.
This is We only slept through a giveaway once.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'll say.
Well, what's going to happen to Mustang Sally? I mean, what's the future for Runaround Sue? What's going on with these? I mean, their career has been put on the icicle cans of Coke.
Because you used to have nicknames, didn't you?
Yeah. What was yours?
No, well, because there was a bloke that I worked with who gave himself a nickname, which I didn't like.
Let's hear it.
I can't say. Shark Man. He called himself the Shark Man, right? And then told us all to call him that. So I would call him Diego Flambert or... you know, anything I could...
Diego Flambert.
Anything I could think of.
Oh.
It's Diego Flambert here.
Those heady days and they're all past now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's right. In case you've not heard this before, Ed did begin his radio career doing live crosses from the Thunders. Have we got one there?
Good morning, Triple M Street Team. Out and about on the street. Heffron Park is where you'll find us this morning. So come and grab the free stuff. Coca-Cola Zero, Zero Sugar Maximum Taste. Also got the Who Magazine, the first with the celebrity gossip. And the Egg Shock, the best Easter eggs in the world. Catch us in the next 15 minutes, Heffron Park. This is the Triple M Street Team. Out and about at Heffron Park on Triple M.
Oh, those were the days. Was it always the Prodigy? Was that the Prodigy or was that the...
Yeah, that was Chemical Brothers.
Chemical Brothers. Yeah.
It was always something upbeat and fun, but I should have sent that into the Ra Awards. It's for Best Newcomer. It's better than that Donkey Courtroom nonsense I sent in.
It's not even called the Ra Awards anymore. It's the ACRAs. It's probably part of the problem.
There we go. There's my problem. I'm sad to see them go, but there is nothing sadder. And if you're listening, promo gentlemen, I am talking to you. There is nothing sadder than a promo guy. You know, promo girls, normally quite hot. Hey, Rich, with me?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? So then they're kind of, you know, they're just being fun and flirty and giving out the free stuff. The looks of utter disgust that I would get from people with real jobs when a man in a black T-shirt and a Triple M beanie would hand them a Mars bar was just, I've never felt such anger in my life. So what do you do, mate? Oh, I drive these cars. What's that, 2 hours work a day? No, we do four crosses, so it's more like 35 minutes. Really? I dig trenches all day. Okay, how about a sanitarium muffin gun?
Oh, those were the days.
Simpler times.
Yeah, more to that story. And we're going to get to that next. But first, Richard, if you wouldn't mind just dropping your pants.
Sure thing, Tony.
I got a good reaction. Sounds like
the girl's happy.
You're at Triple M. It's Duran Duran. Hungry like the wolf. Of course you are. That's Duran Duran, Hungry Like the Wolf on Triple M. The program is Get This.
They're calling it Boghenge.
Oh. They've never called it Boghenge.
Not even once.
Doesn't make any sense. Brought to you by the Nissan Navara.
No.
Oh, what an award-winning 4x4. Oof. Ute of the year. Oof. It's laden down with gongs, blinged up with medals. Are there any other awards that it could snaffle before the end of the year, before we sign off? Is there a Nobel Prize, Richard, for cornering ability?
I think there is.
There should be.
And the Nissan Navara is front row centre.
Wow. Attack the work day, attack the weekend, attack them all the same way. But please, let's have some safe driving out there, people.
Absolutely.
What about this new legislation they're introducing, I think, in New South Wales, where they're going to be taking hoons cars? They've been doing it all year, I think.
Look, what?
290 of them they've confiscated so far. And you know what? They work.
There's going to be no Nissan X's left on the street if they keep confiscating them.
They were going to crush them into cubes at one point.
That's right.
Now they've gone bugger it. Let's use them for crash tests. That's what they're saying. They're going to be used for crash tests, then the footage will be put on the internet.
That's right. I heard about that, the YouTube punishment.
Now, they say for crash tests, but what is a crash test? That's to evaluate the safety features of a new car that we're developing, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You don't get an old car that's been around for years ago, we better do a crash test on that.
Because a lot of people out there have Nissan X's from 91 that they've lowered, put lights underneath and have written Kermit the Wog over the back of, we better test the safety features of such a car because they're very common out there.
It's basically the cops just going, in your face, Hoods, look what we've done to your car. Why stop there with Hoods?
No.
Why not just, I don't know, people downloading stuff off the internet, get their computers, drop them off the top story into a car park.
No.
Let them explode on the ground.
That'll learn them.
That meth lab, let's put it on the back of a truck and drive it off a jetty into the sea.
Well, has anyone crash tested a meth lab recently? I know that they don't corner as well as the Navara, those meth labs.
There's so much more fun to be had destroying the spoils of crime, I would say.
What about cash? Well, if someone's stolen a bunch of cash from a bank.
Oh, just incinerate it all.
Oh, that'll learn them. See what happens? Wow, that's no good at all.
What about the profits of Richard Marsland's crimes? What could they be?
All the booty.
Yeah. booty, Marsland. Those two words next to each other in the dictionary, I think you'll find. And driving, I mean, you can't laugh at this,
no,
Richard, because we were talking earlier about the Black Thunders and why they were taken off the roads. Mm-hmm. We all know why. Because if you're driving.
Exactly.
I don't want to say anything.
Have we got a recording of your very last run in the Black Thunders?
Under Sheriff Tom Thrall races to catch up to a man who just tried to run him down at a roadblock.
Hey, my dust, I'm the Sheriff. I'm the Black Thunder Sheriff.
The suspect is drunk. Very drunk.
If you want the Dean Geyer album, you can queue up like everybody else.
But the undersheriff stays right with him, even as he veers repeatedly onto the shoulder of the opposing lane.
All you're getting out of me, undersheriff, is an icy cold can of cock.
He tries to pass the suspect on the left, but he's blocked.
No one passes Ricky M. I'm taking this Black Thunder to Mexico.
You dirty mongrel!
Where I can legally marry all four of the primo chicks unconscious in the back.
Up ahead, a massive semi barrels toward the drunk and the pursuing officers.
Get off the road, BJ and the mayor. I'm Richard Marsland, and I'm chockers with free samples from the erectile dysfunction warehouse.
Moments later, he does it again, playing a sick game of chicken with another big rig.
You call that a truck? I'm a farmer's unionized coffee-injected suicide machine.
So far, this drunk hasn't hit anyone or anything. But his luck is about to change.
Enough with the voiceovers! I've got diplomatic immunity from the People's Republic of Triple M.
At top speed, he demolishes a road sign.
I hate those billboards. My photo should be way bigger. Take that, Limo!
He fishtails back onto the pavement, completely out of control.
Oh no, my new emo fringe is severely impairing my vision.
He fishtails off the pavement, skids onto the grass, and flips over.
Oh, God, muscle! Oh, Matthew McConaughey! Oh!
The driver has major injuries, but due to the quick rescue response, the man will live.
The finger bus is coming, and everybody's running from me.
You dirty mongrel!
To Ibiza in the Mediterranean sun.
Oh, yuck!
Okay, it's all coming back to us now.
That's what happened.
During that sketch, we had a phone call from someone called Lee. Not Lee Simon.
No.
It's a female Lee.
Hi, Lee.
Who says, was it Ed?
Uh-oh.
She once saw having sex in the back of a Black Thunder one rainy day on a building site a few years ago. Is that ringing any bells?
That wasn't me. That was not me.
How do you know?
It wasn't raining. When I used to do it on the building sites. No, Tony, that is... No, don't make me sit here and justify it and make me sound guilty.
But why would she call up with such a specific accusation?
Yeah. Look, this is what happens, Tone. People out there, they're sick. And they get it, they sit around, they listen to our show, and then they get these wild fantasies in their head. And before you know it, they're out the back with their own car, painting Triple M on the side of it, and they're off to a building site with one of their mates, and they're going for it. Which and they don't want it, and they don't want to be blamed for it, so they're calling up and saying it's me.
So an old van.
It happens every day.
This is like an old van with Triple M in textile the side.
What
an elaborate scam.
Where I used to live in Sydney, you couldn't move for people doing it in the back of vans with Triple M written on the side. You couldn't leave your house for it.
All right. We'll find out if that's true or not. Let's have some
music.
Oh,
I just worked out who that is. Yes. I just worked out who that person Lee is.
Oh.
Don't call back.
No, I'm just trying to work out what was going on in the pies and sausage rolls van.
Okay.
Things are getting hot and heavy.
Let's have some music.
Let's have some from Bruce Springsteen. Here we go. Everyone.
8675309.
Radio Nowhere, that's Bruce Springsteen. Here at Get This on Triple M around the nation. Home of the Get This podcast, 151.
Ooh, palindromic surround sound. I was listening to that all weekend. I believe it kicks off with the wonderful Alan Bro.
Certainly does and closes with the wonderful Jane Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a sandwich, that one. That went up over the weekend. Another
fantastic.
One, hey, here's the good news.
What's that, Tone?
We finally got clearance on the Nick Kershaw sketch.
Hey!
That'll be going up in podcast 152 today.
Send Nick a handful of change, did we?
Something was sorted.
The rights to the riddle.
Someone met the Kersh in a dark car park with a briefcase. It's all been sorted out. But, you know, it's a very downloadable crew here at Get This, don't you find? A lot of stuff just get. What stuff of yours is up on the YouTube? You can see Squid, your short film.
Yeah, you can see Squid. You can see the Gus and Dave, the KFC commercial.
Yeah, that's
now defunct characters of Gus and Dave. I've seen the direction KFC's gone in with their new characters. Doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, the meat pie trailer is up there.
The trailer's up there.
I get the feeling that film's not going to come out by the end of the year somehow.
The word on the street is the director says it's got 3 days of work that it needs to get done to be finished. And it's been that way since 2005.
That way since day one of the shoot.
You never know you're liking the big city, Tone.
All right, Mr. Marsden, what's up there of you?
Some footage from my Bindi's Beads bender on the weekend, and also some Steel Knox related stuff.
Safe for work, any of that gear.
But just the general Get This stuff. Yeah. I believe the Bob Dylan sketch has been...
Yes, your Bob Dylan sketch has
been done really well.
And it's just a gallery of silk shirts.
It's just a gallery of embarrassing shirts from 1992. Although someone's put up something that turned out not half bad, which was me being Hugh Grant as Chopper Reed.
Whoa.
On the Mick Malloy show.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. Toodle Peep, I believe, is the...
It's about a minute 22 long. But luckily, when the picture's that small on your computer, the impression looks a bit better.
Fantastic.
It's slightly blurry.
All right, well, that's all good stuff, Tone.
Yeah, good stuff to download. But none of it has Guzzy Sampson in it.
That's my problem with it.
Yeah, yeah. We get a lot of requests for Guzzy, and I'm thinking he might still appear.
Well, word on the street is that he may be in the last week with somebody else, which would just be beautiful.
Because we're trying to get wacky combinations of co-hosts for the last week.
Yeah.
That could be fun. But what people love when Guzzy comes in is the name drop challenge.
Yes.
This is where you just drop the name of a celebrity you've met and somehow Guzzy either knows them, has worked with them, or you can get to that person in as few links as possible.
And the idea is to not go for your higher echelons.
No.
You know what I mean? Like your Brad Pitts and stuff like that. But that's fine. I don't care about them.
No.
I want to hear about the real people, celebrities.
Okay, it's usually in Terpy, I know. Who have we got in this one?
Hello, David, how are you?
I used to work at a hardware store in the North Shore of Sydney. We used to get a few celebrities coming, Bob and Blanche.
Yes.
Where in the northern Sydney?
North Sydney.
Interesting.
Good, yes.
Used to study there myself.
Who else you got at that shop?
Kirk Pangeli.
Yeah, from NXS. Anyone else?
Ray Martin, Peter Overton, Jessica Rowe,
Channel
Jeff
9.
Harvey.
Jeff Harvey?
My sister used to go to school with his daughter.
There we go.
There it is.
Anyone else on that list?
One of my first ever experiences with a television studio was my sister answered a phone-in, a call-in thing, an advertisement, and her and I attended Ray Martin Presents Tom Jones.
Wow.
And then we were such good studio audience members, this is when I was maybe 14, we got invited back for Ray Martin Presents Billy Crystal.
Oh. Wow. Okay, well, Guzzy's linked himself to two of those names. That's pretty good.
Were you in the audience for Ray Martin's, what is it, Good Blokes and Aussie Heroes?
Top sorts.
Well, I think we started to get a bit of a fan base because we got invited back to be a swinging voter in the New South Wales state election current affair a couple of months later.
Ray Martin has got to bring back those speakers.
Fantastic.
Good sorts and top roots. I can't remember what they were called.
Who
else is dropping one?
Stephen, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Oh, mate, we're excellent. Drop away, my friend.
The tyre fitter and I changed tyres for Elle McPherson.
Is that a metaphor or you changed tyres for her?
I changed tyres for her.
Okay.
Also did Kamal.
Oh, I did Kamal.
Was he anyone on that list you're connected to?
Okay, what are the first two?
Elle McPherson.
I once attended the Logies with her and I wasn't watching. I was a bit nervous. I didn't know if I was meant to be speaking to the press or if I was meant to be walking forward. Mm. I was looking at some press on the side, on the left, and I actually walked into her back. And I got makeup over my suit.
That's a link. That's definitely a link.
I don't know if that...
And Stephen, are you still there?
Is Angus Sampson the fellow who said on there, you know, who else was it, your mum?
Was that you?
A couple of years ago?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's a yes.
Thank you, Stephen.
That's a connection.
Hi, John. How are you? John.
All
right. How you going, mate? What do you got for us?
Walked into Katie Lang walking out of B105 in Brisbane.
Yes. Leaving in disgust, I'm assuming. Is there a link to Katie Lang?
Well, you're sitting next to her right now.
Yes, Ed Cavalier's best lookalike.
I could shave you with an open blade like she was on the
Shave Away, my friend.
Esquire magazine.
Yeah.
I do like Tony Bennett. I don't know if that...
No. Oh, well, I think this man is the first to stump you, although the Cavalry link is pretty strong. Yeah. So.
Look at that.
And that's a damn fine lookalike, so we're going to give side. That one a pass. Who else wants to have a crack?
Dino, how are you, bro?
Hi, guys.
Talk us through it.
Patrick Stewart was out here filming Moby Dick.
Yes.
At Point Cook in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And anyway, I was at a corporate event. It was a race day at Calder Park. Mm-hmm. And unbeknownst to me, I was actually standing in the chow line, you know, the buffet line. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And someone pointed out, that's Patrick Stewart.
Right.
Now, I thought I'd be cool about this, and, you know, not have him authenticate ears or anything.
No.
I thought I'd be cool.
You didn't try and trick him into saying the phrase, make it so?
Well, actually, this is where everything went completely wrong. I patted him on the shoulder and I started chatting to him, remember, not to gush. And he said, well, I wonder how fast these cars are going around the track. And this is where your brain sort of cheats you.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, they'd be doing better than Warp Factor 9.
Oh, Dino.
And he replied, I hate
you. That's the thing. My whole brain shut my head down and said, nope, you're out of here. I have no idea what the response was.
She said nothing.
She just red flagged herself and and left. Well, Patrick Stewart, any link to you, Guzzi? None at all.
No.
What about Star Trek? Surely you've met someone from Star Trek. Come on, Guzzi.
I did see LaForgue's glasses once on display at a comic book convention in New York.
That is the saddest attempt ever. That is pathetic. I think Dino has finally broken the back of Guzzi.
Oh, that is great.
There are so many great ones on the line.
I saw someone's got George Wendt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I had a George Wendt thick shake at the Cheers Bar in Boston.
Not good enough.
Oh, come on.
There enough is good enough here. And get this. Time for some music. That Lou Reed guitar that you do.
Sure.
Rich, can you... Just play a bit of that. Hit it for us.
Hey.
It's pretty good.
That is actually pretty good, Rich.
Percussion, Mr. Cavalry.
Yeah,
you
cool.
Go for it.
Oh, I like that.
It's mostly a hi-hat.
Shall I do my Lou Reed?
Please.
Here we go.
Pedro lives out of the Wilshire Hotel. He looks out a window without glass.
That's Lou Reed, Dirty Boulevard, from the excellent New York album here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Now, Richard, you mentioned Still Knox earlier on, and that's been a big feature of the show over the year, the sleeping drug that sometimes, I should say sometimes, because I've taken Still Knox, nothing.
You've been fine. Well, you think you've been okay.
All I've done is sleep. I've woken up, no sketches written, nothing.
The photos haven't surfaced yet, though. Maybe there could be some interesting Tony Martin-related sleepwalking going on.
Sure, but... sometimes people paint the house. What else do they do?
Well, if you're a Home and Away star, former Home and Away star Brian Wiseman, you go to London, stay in a hotel, take some sleeping tablets, some Still Knox to get you over the jet lag. Mm. You sleepwalk in your undies around Covent Garden in the early hours of the morning.
Ah, yes.
And you have the paparazzi take photos of you while you're doing it.
I think it's actually Covent Garden, but
Covent Garden,
you're just thinking of Covent Garden. That's obviously something from your past.
This poor guy. And he says, I had bad jet lag, so I took a Still Knox tablet. The next thing I know, I woke up in my hotel with dirty feet.
Yeah.
And there's the there's the picture wearing the Mr. Men undies.
Has anyone heard of that bloke since he left Home and Away?
Well, I haven't.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Still Knox, it's a good career reviviver.
It's not bad, is it?
That's a word. It is
Wiseman
now.
Wiseman showing off the semi by the sea.
Showing off the blunt. Okay, that's unusual. Where did that happen?
How many more of them are going to do it, hey? Now that one former Home and Away star has gone a bit wacky on the Still Knox and gone for a walk, you can just see the publicist at Home and Away going, okay, fine. All right, everyone, come in here. Take this.
Don't ask why, just take it.
Shut up. Shut up, you, one with the face. Take it.
You'll be sleepy at first, but page 3 in the morning.
Fantastic.
Another bizarre celebrity story over the last week. Get this. Last with all your celebrity exclusives. Last Monday, Rachel Hunter was the victim of a frightening attack in the foyer of a luxury hotel in Melbourne. The beautiful former Sports Illustrated cover girl was walking through the foyer of Crown Towers last Monday when a woman suddenly ran up behind her and kicked her in the ass before dashing off. Ooh. No explanation was given. I'm just assuming someone who'd seen you and your stupid mate. That was my best guess. But it's hard to imagine such a person.
I'm going to kick Rachel Hunter in the ass. Nana, shut up. I'm going to do it.
and then I'm going to run off. This is going to be fantastic.
They'll be talking about this on Catalyst.
Yes.
You got the touch.
I got her right in the ass. She didn't suspect a thing.
Well, maybe if that woman would like to call us up here and get this and offer an explanation, this is the segment to do it on Talkback Mountain. It's all right, everybody. We haven't travelled through time. It's still the present. And what's today's topic, Ed?
What do you call stuff? Okay. Now, this is because my former flatmate, John.
Yes.
You know, lousy friend, bad guy,
yeah,
et cetera. I saw him on the weekend and he said he'd been to a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And someone had asked him, mate, do you know when the Peter entrees arrive?
The Peter entrees. What does that mean?
The Peter entrees.
Oh, the entrees. Lovely. That's lovely. Not bad.
I quite like that. And then I got an email from Johnson P. Squires on the topic of how does Richard live his life.
Yeah.
Richard's house, much like the strange guy in... the strange guy opposite the main guy's apartment in Short Butch. In Short Bus.
Okay, I think that was a sentence. Somewhere in it we could determine...
That was a massively weird email.
Yet another of our listeners has watched that film.
Okay, let's keep going. Richard loves watching across to the other building and catching a little mangle action.
Oh,
now, what is that? What's a mangle? Rich, as if you don't know, that's a man triangle.
Okay.
Well, I heard you eating a mango the other day.
Mm.
You're just standing over a bin. It was a really classy look eating a mango. I said, is that a mango? And he goes, no, it's a manjo.
No idea. Yeah.
That's what he calls it, a manjo.
Yeah, that's playing a man like a banjo, I'm assuming. So when's this mangle happening, Rich? Yeah.
That's all the time.
This show is kind of a mangle of itself.
Oh, it's gonna get isosceles, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so the idea is words you've invented. Okay, you mentioned the Peter Andre. See, I have a friend who has a massive outdoor fridge in his backyard.
What a legend.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just full of coldies. It's called the Colston.
That's not bad.
Go and get it out of the Colston, he'll say.
All right, beautiful. That's a good one.
Have you invented any words, Ed Cavalier?
No. That's why I read an email.
All right, well, here's one. This is possibly a bit offensive, but it's one we use just because it's got stuck in our heads.
Mm.
You know when, dog owners. I don't see any dog owners on this show apart from myself, but you might have to take the dog for a walk at some point.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
And they might just leave a deposit on the nature strip.
Yes,
it's your
do.
Duty to pick that up, people, in a bag.
Mm.
Now, sometimes it can be so bad, this can happen twice during one dog walk.
Jeez,
you're coming back with two bags. Dog owners know what that feels like.
Mm.
Now, there's a New Zealand actor who I used to love in the theatre when I was growing up called Lani Tupu.
Okay.
So when someone comes back with two bags, that's a Lani.
That's a Lani right there.
Go? That was another Lani. Check it out. It's a Lani Tupu.
He could get his...
That's very rude. He's a very fine actor.
He could get some endorsements happening.
But that's how it happens. It just gets stuck in your head and it's part of the lexicon. Richard Marsland.
Well, on that tip, actually, Tony, we have a family friend who years ago was quite famous for coming over, and if he was over for a dinner, he would have to, I guess to quote maybe one of your old sketches, give the latrine a wide berth.
Oh, yes.
Afterwards, he would actually come to our house and do number two. So from that point...
And then leave?
To go to the toilet would be called, doing a Stanley.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'm just going to go and pull a Stanley. Something like that.
You see, that's how it happens. They just start from something small.
Yeah.
All right.
Call us up with your one, listeners. And I think, have we got prizes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Yes!
They're from Cecilia on the phone!
Cecilia on the phone just handed me this. Nickelback's Rockstar, the single with an interactive DVD. Learn what their life must be like. Also, Keith Urban, Love, Pain, the whole crazy thing. All of your favourite tracks are here called Got It Something.
What?
Won't let you what, stupid man? Down the wood.
What, there's actual Keith Urban songs on that Keith Urban album?
Apparently.
They're just written on the back. When you play it, it's blank, I'm sure it is. There's nothing even in it.
Up for grabs, Tone.
Call us now with your word, 133353. It's Snow Patrol. Here, get this on Triple M, where today we're looking for new words. Words you've invented. Who's got one, Ed?
G'day, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
What word have you invented?
I have got two, actually three. The first one is, if something's really good, it's smooth bugosh.
Wow. What's that about?
I've got no idea. We just made it up about 35 years ago, mucking around in the lounge room. If it's really good, that's really smooth bug off.
Okay. Well,
and there's another one.
Yes.
If you can't get something out of the drawer, if your feet are trapped in the sheets in bed and you can't get something out, it's trapped in a golden mungery.
Wow.
A golden mungery.
Yep. And there's one more. Oh, yeah. If you're leaving to say goodbye, we say salada.
A salada.
Salada, yes. Yeah, I think I may have heard that before. So
cool.
Sure to see you later.
Yeah,
yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Jill.
Yeah, thank you.
That was top bugosh.
Salada.
Salada yourself.
Hi, Jill. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. How are you going?
Excellent, mate. What word have you invented?
Oh, well, it's actually my friend always used to come up wanting to go Normans and things, which I never knew what he meant, but it was Harvey Normans to go halves and something.
That's fantastic.
Spot on.
You're going
Scott.
Normans.
That's great. You know what, Scott? That's so good that you're going to get Keith Urban's album. How about that?
A bit scared. I don't know if I can handle that on the stereo.
Oh, man. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Where yeah, we, that's right.
Where do you even start?
A poetry like yours, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Maybe we could just
you, Scott.
Burn a disc of the children's poetry and put that in the Keith Urban cover.
We could do that.
Maybe that'd be a better prize.
There you go, Scott.
Oh,
Salada.
An illegal download if there's any going.
There is, actually.
All right, you're in.
I found one today.
All right, you're
dropping
in.
Dropping up a disc.
Hey, that.
Good on you, Scott. Salada. All right, Michael, how are you?
G'day, mate. How are you?
Excellent, sir. Your word?
My word is kilos.
Oh. What does that mean?
One of our mates at school, his nickname was Kilo, and he used to get really bad sweat patches under his arms when we played sport. And so we nicknamed the sweat patches under your arm Kilo.
Isn't that nice?
Kilo.
His memory lives on.
It does, mate. My brother's 2 years younger than us, and they all use it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, like, if you saw... And you can't really offend anyone with that because they won't know the origins of it.
No, that's pretty much it, isn't it?
So you can see Amanda Vanstone on the news and go, oh, enormous Kilo's Jesus there.
Danny.
No one's offended.
Thank you, Michael. Salada. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. How are you?
Excellent, mate. What word have you invented?
It actually came from a mate of mine. He bought a news agency up the far north coast of New South Wales, and the only stubby holders they had left in stock in the shop were Douglas's, so stubby holders are now Douglas's.
What do you mean? It just said Douglas on it.
It just said Douglas.
Is that for holding the Black Douglas by any chance?
Yeah, maybe.
Mate, just chuck us a Doug any time. We've got a cold out of the fridge.
A few Dougs. How many Dougs are you up to today?
Oh, I got 30 Dougs in the cupboard. Oh.
30 Dougs in the cupboard.
Don't you, Joe. Don't let us keep them.
That's some smooth bugosh waiting to go.
Hey, is that everyone, Tone?
Is that everyone?
Oh, no, hello there. Eddie, are you there?
Yeah, mate, I'm here.
Excellent. Which word have you invented, my friend? What do you call it?
Well, I didn't invent it, but it's one that we cricketers use.
Which is?
Michelle.
Wow, what does that mean?
It means the bowler's taken 5 wickets.
Now, why Michelle?
Michelle Pfeiffer, mate.
Ah, you see.
I don't get it.
Pfeiffer.
Oh, Pfeiffer.
Wakey.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Ed.
Sorry about
that. Sheffield Shield fan, aren't you?
Yeah. I am Sheffield. Who's your favourite Sheffield Shield cricketer, Eddie?
Mine? No, it'd have to be Timmy Zura.
Timmy Zura.
Have you read that book?
I have, actually.
have you really?
No.
I reckon if we can get it reprinted by the time we get off air.
That'd be amazing.
That'll be another achievement.
Good on you, Eddie.
Thanks to everyone who increased our lexicon today. Now, we've been talking about Richard Marsden's past a lot and speculating on this show.
Just the filth that it entails.
We forgot there's a bloke here at Triple M.
Who knows?
Who used to work with him.
Yes.
Who knows where the lotion is buried. Next up, Limo. Get
this. I'm sorry, but you'll be horrified when you see what these boys get up to.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
What I want, cause I can. If I don't, because I wanna.
Come on, Rich, let's cross to a horse race.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored, because I'm gonna.
There must be another Melbourne Cup we can find somewhere.
I'm starting to get concerned, Ed, that maybe Tony's getting a gambling problem.
Oh, is that right?
He seems intent on crossing to another horse race.
He's wearing a barrel today.
I can hear somebody else in the room. It's Limo.
He's in
an hour early.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Has anyone seen Will? What's going on?
Well, I don't know what's going on, but you, the reason we want you in here is because there's been a debate raging for the last year. How does Richard Marsden live his life?
Yeah, it is interesting. My first ever job in commercial radio was with Richard Marsden. We did the breakfast show at SAFM in Adelaide.
Yes.
Good to see he's wearing pants these days. Thank you.
And court order.
And was he your boss, or were you his boss, or...?
We swapped roles.
Okay.
Depending on how much we had to drink.
Okay. Fantastic.
It was you, me and Zoe Sheridan, I believe, were on the air together for about 9 days.
and you know what? We won a comedy award that year.
Yeah. Did you?
For radio. I can't even remember who administered these awards, but it was the only year that they happened.
Yeah.
And we entered and we won for the best comedy radio show in South Australia.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Not a lot of competition.
No. Okay, we're going to get to the bottom of this in this hour. We're going to find out a bit more how Richard lives his life. And we're going to play Grumpy Young Men. Mm. Are you a grumpy young man, Limo?
Shut up.
Oh, he's gone. Hang on. He's turned.
It's going to turn ugly in this hour. I'll get this. Thank you. Thank you very much. The Violent Femmes, second hour of Get This on Triple M, brought to you by the Nissan Navara, huge bulling power, as you know, yeah, rugged good looks. Now, Limo is here. He's getting ready to come in. He's just off mic at the moment. He's a big Steven Seagal fan.
Yeah, that's true.
So he wanted us to give him a Steven Seagal entrance. Unfortunately, the only music we've got is from the straight-to-video release, Submerge.
This is 359.
It's still good for lumbering down a corridor, though.
Requesting permission to land.
There we go.
Here he comes.
There you go. That is a Seagal entrance.
Nice caftan.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Anyone for a roundhouse kick to the head?
Oh, please. While
I'm in the mood.
Love one.
What's your favourite Seagal to just put on for a relaxing evening?
Out for Justice. Probably my favourite.
Out for Justice, not Mark for Death?
No, Mark for Death I like. Nico Above the Law.
Yeah, that was where it
his
all started.
First, and many will say his best.
Yeah.
With Sharon
day.
Stone was
Sharon
in that one as well.
Sharon Stone makes an appearance. Mm.
Yeah.
But my favourite, certainly Out for Justice.
Yeah, that's right.
After the death of close friend Bobby Lupo.
Oh, that'll happen.
Yeah. So then Seagal, what happens next is he goes looking for the man that killed Bobby Lupo.
Yeah. And so now he's out for some justice.
So he's out for justice.
There we go. Okay.
Like, I love how that you can always tie the name. Like, you know the movie, I watched this actually last week, Hard to Kill.
Yeah.
You know, in that film, as it turns out, he's very hard to kill.
Very good. Well done.
So he's got Hard to Kill. He's got Out for Justice and now Out for a Kill, which is one of his recent strange videos. It's very confusing.
Yeah. And my favourite movie title of all time, the 2002, much maligned, Half Past Dead.
Oh, isn't that a great title?
Which they've now got a sequel to, Limo.
Half Past Dead 2. So it's not Quarter to Dead.
No.
Quarter Past Dead.
Wouldn't make any sense, mate.
25 to Buried, technically, should be, I think. All right, enough Seagal talk. That's what's...
Well, is it though? I mean...
Well, you know, Out for Justice.
Really?
Is it ever enough Seagal talk?
Really, really? You know, a friend of mine and I was so wrapped up in Out for Justice that we... You know, you enjoy a film with your friends.
Yes.
And then you start having a private joke.
Yeah.
And then other people have no idea what you're on
about. That's right.
There's a great bar scene.
Welcome to Get This. Yeah.
There's a great bar scene in Out for Justice where he walks in and he's looking for Richie, who killed Bobby Lupo.
Yeah.
And he starts walking around the bar. And now here's one of the lines from the...
Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
And then he just randomly starts yelling, "Who killed Bobby Lupo?" So me and a mate of mine would go out and we'd be in bars and we'd just randomly yell, "Who killed Bobby Lupo?" And then this is a line towards the end of the bar scene.
Anybody seen Richie? Huh? I'm going to keep coming back till somebody remembers seeing Richie.
Great moment.
So we'd be bumping into people going, "Are you Richie? Anybody seen Richie?"
I'm going to keep coming back in here.
That does happen.
I'm going to keep bringing this bad accent in here. Somebody tell me where Richie is.
Things like that from movies just catch on. One of my favourite movies is Midnight Run with Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. And whenever I can't get anything to work or someone else can't get the video to work, it'll always be, "Have you tried the litmus configuration?" Give it the litmus configuration. And you've invented a word you were saying, Limo. Talking about
Well, it actually wasn't me. It's my mum. Mum's family years ago.
Yes.
Now, this is in the Murray Mallee, very conservative times in the 1930s.
Yeah, gotcha.
In South Australia. If someone farted, they invented the word Brits. It was a Brits.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, but I thought that was the actual word.
A Brits?
A Brits. Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
It's dangerously close to a Brit, too. Yeah. It's not ridiculous. Another Brit already. Is there anything left?
So I would say at home, it would be, "Hey, don't Brits." So as a kid, you think that's just the word.
Right.
So then you get to school and you hear somebody go, "Ah, he just Brits." And everyone goes, what are you on about?
That's it. Get him. He's talking different.
And you'd be obviously confused when they brought out the Vita Brits as well. It's a tasty snack. Okay, South Australia. Now, Richard Barzan claims that South Australia is a fart-free state. He claims he grew up with no farting at all in his house. Right.
Certainly in my family, in the gateway to the Mid-North, Gawler.
Gawler, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful part of
the beautiful country. Yeah. In fact, actually, we're both kind of rural guys, Limo and I.
Yeah, that's right.
Rather odd.
Rural guy.
A bit of grass just between the teeth. Okay, we're going to find out.
Swigging moonshine.
Yeah. We need to know what you know about the secret life of Richard Marsden. Maybe we'll get to that next on Get This.
Triple M. Triple M.
Cool, cool. It was just all cool. Now it's over for me and it's over for you.
Thank you, Matchbox 20. Here at Get This on Triple M. Limo is with us. He's in early. His own program with Will starts very soon, about 40 minutes from now, whenever we stop talking rubbish. But Limo used to work on Breakfast in Adelaide with Richard Marsden. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go to his house during that time?
No, I didn't, but I got a few descriptions of his house from Richard, as I'm sure he's supplied to you guys over the years. I pictured something. I always pictured in a cellar, although I'm pretty sure it wasn't, with just videos wall to wall.
Yes, that's what I'm picturing.
A few sort of ashtrays strewn around. I suspect probably a some sort of pottery ashtray from school.
Yeah.
A few photos of you taken through a telescopic lens without your permission.
Night vision goggles, the human skin suit, it's all there.
You think they were without my permission, but if you look closely, I am winking straight
that's
down
true,
the lens.
And when you were on air with him, I mean, breakfast requires that you have to be up early and you have to be responsible. Mm. Was he there every day on time?
He was there every day on time, but as I said earlier, never wearing pants, always with a puffer jacket though.
Oh, is that right?
Puffer jacket, no pants.
Okay, that's interesting. We didn't know that before.
Okay, puff, no pants, good.
He was always there very early and used to live at Gawler, which is a healthy sort of 1 hour drive.
At home with your parents, Rich?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
How old are we talking?
In the granny flat. Thank you.
In the granny flat.
I think I was about 26, 27 when I moved out.
Single?
Single.
Well, no, I'm what a shock. A man living with his parents in the middle of nowhere. He's single.
And when he says in the granny flat with them.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
What about did you ever go on his TV show that he used to do with Ann Wills, AM Adelaide?
I did go on AM Adelaide. Yeah. I think I might have done a stand-up comedy spot on AM Adelaide.
Oh, they love comedy in the morning.
Yeah, it's always great performing comedy in a cold studio.
With no audience.
With no audience at all.
Fantastic.
And Ann Wills in the back. You can hear the jangling of earrings. In the background from Ann Wills. It's about the only feedback you're getting.
Well, I guess we're slowly putting a picture together. He's holding his cards pretty close to his chest. But a lot of people are requesting things that Richard's done over the years. And David Tang, of course, just the 800th person to want to hear this.
The Vinger bus is coming and everybody's running from north to Ibiza in the Mediterranean sun.
Yeah. Richard, have you ever thought about, you know, Sri Lankan fast bowler, Chaminda Vaas?
Oh, yes.
Would fit nicely into Vinger Bus.
Chaminda Vaas
is coming. Get to work on that.
Tie that up. Sell it to the Sri Lankans. Could be a motivational tool.
Cha-ching.
That's the new chant, isn't it? Then for the test, as he's running into bowl, Chaminda Vaas is coming.
Yeah, it's not bad.
There you go.
All right, Chaminda Vaas fans out there.
David Tang says,
that's great.
This bloke reckons, I'm sure you've already played that. So he's thought of something we haven't played, something I don't remember, the time that I was interviewing John Howard and Ed distracted Richard so that the quotes got out of sync.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did that really happen on this show? Mr. Howard, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Tony, and let me say it's great to finally be here in person instead of that ridiculous impression you normally use.
Yeah, sorry about that. You really seem to have stirred up some trouble this week with your comments about the war in Iraq.
Yes, look, there was nothing offensive intended in my comments about Black Osama. Sorry, Barack Obama. I don't think there's anything remiss in a fellow coalition partner commenting about the situation in Iraq.
Yes. Who are the other members of that coalition again?
Well, there's the British, of course.
And who else?
Well, I think Alaska is behind us.
Well,
That's just one of the United States, surely.
Yeah, but it's not actually touching the others. Hawaii are on board.
Prime Minister, are you suggesting that if Barack Obama were to be elected and withdrew US troops from Iraq, you'd be willing to retain an Australian contingent?
Well, that's a hypothetical scenario, but certainly there are unique Australian programs that would benefit the Iraqi people.
Such as?
A tidy town scheme,
right,
properly implemented and enforced, wouldn't go astray.
Uh-huh,
perhaps
yep,
a few days of total fire ban could be introduced into the Iraqi calendar.
Maybe.
Regular visits by John Farnham could be beneficial.
Yeah.
Statues of Don Bradman on every bombed-out corner to inspire the population to rebuild.
Yep, sure.
You know, a few less mosques, a few more Bunnings warehouses would be a step in the right direction. The Iraqi people need to learn to assimilate to the ways of their occupiers.
Excuse me, Tom.
Yes?
Yeah, if I could cut in. If you're doing John Howard's voice,
yeah,
how is this working? Because you're here live.
Well, obviously, my bits are pre-recorded.
Right, but hang on, are you following a script?
Of course he will. Alan Jones has been flying the flag for him for some time.
Mr. Howe, we seem to have got out of sync here.
Dozens, apparently, Tony, according to Tony Abbott, if you'll pardon the expression.
Ed, you've thrown us out of sync.
Sorry, Tony.
Of course I've never tried down-blousing from the upper house, Richard. What an absurd suggestion.
No, of course not, Prime Minister. Guys, I think I can get this back on track.
Yes.
Really?
Mr. Howard, if we could cross now to Kevin Rudd, who has this to say to Tony.
If the Prime Minister wants to be hairy-chested about this matter, Tony, then perhaps he'd like to explain to the electorate why he's been dragging the chain.
Yes. An unclear point well made.
Sorry, are we back on script again?
Yes, Mr. Howard.
You sounded like Cavalli f***ed it up for a second there.
I'm sorry, Prime Minister. We can't condone that sort of language.
What, can't I say f***? But how are you f***ing beeping this if it's f***ing live?
No f***ing idea.
Hang on, I am actually live.
I was recorded last week.
If the Prime Minister wants to be hairy-chested about whether we're live or not, get f***ed, Rudd.
Sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen. Here's f***ing Hinder. Okay, don't panic. It's not effing Hinder. It's effing Jet. Here, get this. Thank you very much. There's no need for that sort of language. Jet here at Get This on Triple M. Limo is here. He's popped in early, and I think he's sitting on another Steven Seagal fact.
Steven Seagal, fluent in Japanese. Did you know that?
Yeah, I'll bet.
Well, he needs to be. You know what I'm saying?
Needs another string to his bow,
there it
you
is.
Think? But did you know in 1997, Steven Seagal announced to the world, and this is not made up, that he is the reincarnation of a Buddhist lama.
Oh, yeah.
And it was confirmed by one of his Buddhist teachers that he, in fact, is the reincarnation of a Buddhist lama.
Dalai Roundhouse?
He does look a bit like Buddha, given, you know, when he's getting around
the portly nature.
The Nehru jacket that makes him look like an Indian restaurant.
But enough about Steven Seagal, Limo.
Sure.
You've got the facts about Richard Marsland.
Oh,
off
sure
air, you've teased me. You've teased me with you may know where the lotion is.
The lotion, I do believe, and Richard did leak this to me once after a few too many drinks. It's in a bank vault in Snowtown.
Oh, my goodness. I knew he was involved. When I saw that story, I thought, there's a guy I don't know yet called Richard Marsland. I bet he's involved.
Enough of that guitar gear. What's our theme for this hour? That's right. It's time to play Grumpy Young Men, because I love it, Limo, when Ed Cavalli here starts bagging out the young'uns. The young people.
Not enough. Tone.
Yeah.
Auto-tune. This is the thing I can't
here
get my
go
head around.
It's getting started. Listen
okay
to this.
Now, do you know who Sean Kingston is? Does anyone know who that
oh,
is?
Yeah. You're beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. It's called Beautiful Girls.
Beautiful
yeah,
Girls,
oh,
that's
yep,
right.
Yep, yeah. Rich, how's it go?
It samples Stand By Me.
Yep.
Yeah.
How's it go?
And you're much too beautiful girl.
See, Rich is a good ad for auto-tune. You see,
that's before?
That's roughly kind of where it's at if Peter Sellers' character from The Party was doing it. That's kind of...
But it's like he's got a strange voice.
Yeah, it's metallic.
Yes.
So auto-tune is that metallic sound that you can hear in people's voices. Now, yeah. I've suddenly realised that you can say what you want about, you know, let's say you didn't like the Beatles or whatever, you didn't like the Monkees or anything like
yep
that, they still had to sing the songs.
Yes,
but
yep
they can't get in there with a studio. Like S Club 7. Say what you want about S Club 7, but they actually had to sing the songs.
I didn't have anything to say about them anyway. Okay.
A friend of mine had an S Club 7 doll once.
Yeah. I did as well. Does anyone remember the songs?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
I know the ones, yeah.
One,
yeah,
two, ain't no party like an S Club party.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, I get them confused with Steps.
Well,
who are around the same
don't.
Period.
All right.
And what about Junior S Club 7?
I don't remember that.
Who were the little kids who were modelled after S Club 7? A whole bunch of issues.
Well, that makes sense.
All right, so that's my point. So
he's a grumpy young man.
Young man. I can't stand it when the kids are using auto-tune and the other kids are downloading it to their mobile phone thinking it's singing. It's not singing.
Are you a grumpy young man about something, Limo?
You don't know, it's me. Abbreviations in text messages or text, you know, your LOL, your BTW by the way. Yeah. I'm very much in favour of spelling the whole lot out with the correct grammar, including commas. And apostrophes.
That's fantastic. I mean, I don't have a mobile phone, but if I did, it would just be hours just saying hello, I'm assuming.
Tone?
Correct punctuation. Well, I am old, so it's just going to be grumpy old men.
What do you not like about the kids, Tone?
Well, there's one thing I have noticed that's happened, and I've always been someone who reads the street press from cover to cover, including all of the ads, both of the street press publications in your town. But in the last couple of years... I've started getting to the dance music section in the beginning and just putting my hand underneath the back page of it and just flipping right past all that silvery writing and all those surfer graphics. Going, there's nothing I'm ever going to understand about dance music now.
What do you know about Earthcore, Tone?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Really? Dub?
It's a place, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
It's a thing.
Oh, he nearly got me.
All right. Yeah,
okay.
Fair enough. Hates
what about
the dance music.
That grumpy young... Well, I don't necessarily hate it. I just, you know, I don't feel qualified to talk about
fair
it
enough,
is what
Tone.
I'm saying. Mr. Marsden, though, he's young and grumpy as. Well,
there's a few things. I was getting really annoyed the other day because someone had parked in front of my house for about 3 days.
Oh.
I find that really frustrating for some reason.
Have you written to Thumbs Down in your local community newspaper?
It was a young person with a young person's first car. So thumbs down to that. Thumbs down also
Why do you care if there's a car parked out the front of your house? Surely if you live on a street, there's always cars parked out
the front. Well, if I have company, I wouldn't mind someone parking out the front of my house. What about the young, the house full of students the other day who had a party on a Sunday afternoon
with
a live rock and roll band on the lawn?
Yeah.
That's too loud for the neighbourhood.
What a grumpy young man you are.
People being Wally's with water next door. Mm. Just watering their plants.
Wally's with water. You know, I love to wear Crocs. Crocs. Yeah. And I've been mocked for that by young people.
Mm. Yeah,
call me old.
It's probably fair enough, that one.
Well, the Crocs are comfortable. You ever worn a pair?
What colour are the Crocs?
I've got a few.
Do you? Any of the fluorescent numbers?
I've got a range. I have a fluorescent strap on a green pair.
Oh, all right. You sold me. You got me.
Do you think that the young people's music isn't what it used to be?
Mm.
Is somebody running a band from the corner of your street? Has someone mocked your Crocs? Give us a call, 133353.
Get this.
Jumping out of speeding cars, setting themselves on fire, and other even more dangerous, more unspeakable acts.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
That's right. You never know what we'll play next here in Triple M. Around the nation on Get This, Limo is here. He's keen to meet some grumpy young men or ladies. Who's there, Ed?
G'day, Will.
How you going, Ed?
Excellent, mate. Talk us through it.
Look, I've just been sitting on the Westgate Freeway with a gun in my mouth due to the traffic.
Okay.
But, you know what, hey, when you let someone change lanes in front of you and they cease to give you a courtesy wave.
Courtesy wave. That's illegal in many states now.
Oh, it should be illegal. They should round them up. But you know what, they're all fat cats in the scallop industry.
Yeah, so they are from the scallop
industry.
Well, I have to say a lot of that was inaudible except for the phrase scallop industry.
I'd like to see that sign on the side of the road, police are targeting courtesy waves.
The courtesy waves, you know, Glenn Robbins talks about, you know, letting people in as being like a bouncer. You know, yes, you can come through. Not you.
The car velvet rope.
How many do you let through if there's a gap and you're in the backstop position? How many you let
in? I will always let in one or two. Adelaide, where Richard and I are from, it's almost like a sport to never let anyone in.
Is that right?
Yeah, cars will accelerate.
And no courtesy wave in Adelaide, straight to shallow bush graves for everybody, is it?
Exactly. A map to Snowtown flashed out the window.
Oh, thank God the second hour doesn't go to Adelaide.
Thanks, Will. Good day, Cameron.
Hey guys, how are you?
Excellent, mate. Have a grump.
Fashion.
Oh, which bit?
Oh, the tight jeans, the small shirts, the big hats that aren't on straight.
Big hats? No. Hang on a second.
You know what I mean? Like the big brim hats that think you're a skater, but you're not a skater, you're just a wanker.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm 21, so theoretically, I should be probably in this fashion group.
You are a grumpy old young man, aren't you, Kevin?
I was out the other night, saw a kid. Mm-hmm. His pants were nowhere to fall halfway down his ass. Shirt, 10 sizes too small. He had a bandana, wearing a bandana inside with a cigarette tucked into it.
It's fine if you're at a 21 Jump Street party, but outside of that, there's no place for it.
But it's disappointing, no place.
You know, when you're old enough to remember all these looks before, that's the worst part. Yeah. You see the kids, My Chemical Romance with the washboard military gear down the front. I'm going, this is Adam Ant. Adam Ant was wearing that gear years ago.
Wasn't there a town in the States, maybe even Houston, Texas has passed this law, where if you're seen with underpants protruding from the pan, you're copping on the spot fine.
$200
$200
Yeah.
Dragged behind a car. I love the knife factory. It's too good for them. Who's next?
G'day, Lee.
How you going?
Excellent. Have a whinge.
First of all, I think it's on your show, you always advertise traffic and radars. Yes. Not once I hear about the radars. Always the traffic, never radars.
That is true.
Yeah, I think those reports are prepared, but we choose to give out Stephen Segal facts during them. It's not very helpful for drivers, admittedly.
The other one is, what is it when a hot day, guys wear shorts, singlet, and top it off with a beanie?
Your beanie on a hot day.
Yeah.
That's right. Hanging's too good for them.
Good on you, Lee.
Thanks.
No, that's very nice.
Lovely.
Do we have time for any women in this segment? I should have said grumpy young women as well.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi, guys.
Away you go.
Well, firstly, I'm going to miss your show terribly.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks, Genevieve.
Yours and The Cage are the funniest shows on radio, so I think I'm going to boycott Triple M.
There's no need for that. We'll get taken off air now if people start thinking that way.
Well, my whinge is just about the younger people. I used to work in a call centre.
Yes.
And they would send out group emails to each other.
Right.
And just the terrible spelling, lack of punctuation, no capital letters, no sentence structure. Yeah. You can barely understand what they're saying.
I
agree completely. Mm.
And obviously, working in a call centre, no one would ever be grumpy with you, I'm assuming.
No, I was always nice to people on the phone.
Sure you were.
Just like I am now.
Thank you, Genevieve.
Thank you.
Well, that's a pretty grumpy selection. But do we have a real reason to be grumpy? Let's find out next on Get This. That's Dumb Things. Paul Kelly here at Get This around the nation on Triple M. Will and Limo will be starting presently, but Limo is here already. How do you go with the politics on your show, Limo?
We like to weave some political comedy through the show.
But you actually get the real politicians in, don't you?
Yeah, we spoke to Julia Gillard a couple of weeks ago.
How did that go?
She's a communist, we confirmed.
Wow.
And how is it when,
had a pop quiz. Fantastic.
When they come in, are you given lists of things you're not allowed to ask? Or does she come in with minders?
She came with a minder each side,
right?
Ready
yeah.
to sort of elbow either of us. That's kind of Steven Seagal type.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Sure. And is it...
no one's ever said you can't ask questions about this or that or the other, you know.
Right, okay.
But, you know, we've never had John Howard in. Yeah. We've asked, we've tried, but he always says...
Have you really? You've asked?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we've asked Costello. Big, we got the talk to the hand.
But they don't really do... They only kind of do Alan Jones and, you know...
Yeah, but surely, if they're trying to court swinging voters, they should be coming on.
Yeah, I guess so.
Triple M, surely you would think.
Yeah, well, no, we've had no joy.
We prefer to simply manipulate old interviews that other people have done on our program. It's much simpler. It keeps you out of trouble. And in the last half hour, we had a bit of John Howard. Now let's visit the opposition benches. We've had a few requests to replay this. An interview we taped off the telly, quite an extraordinary interview. With Peter Garrett.
Mr. Garrett, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Laurie.
Kevin Rudd announced at his climate change summit yesterday that he'll lead a team to China before the election to pressure the Chinese into reducing greenhouse emissions. How will you pressure them?
Laurie, I think the need here is for us to go to China and get a sense of what they're doing in terms of reducing their emissions. And that's, I think, what the Clean Coal Initiative has been all about, because...
Well, given that Australia already has agreements with the Chinese, what do you say to the allegation that your trip would be a stunt?
Oh, I don't believe that at all, Laurie. I mean, I think that seems to me to be an entirely productive exercise to be able to go there, to see what they're doing, and also to let them... Put down that weapon.
Two questions out of that. One, who is our Nicholas Stern? Who will head it? And two, why do we need it?
Well, I'll answer the second part of the question first to paraphrase other people that have sat here being interviewed by you. We need it because... and the Prime Minister's response, that the government clearly doesn't think that climate change is an economic risk to Australia. I mean, their argument seems to be...
So who's our next turn?
Well, that's something which I can't answer here.
Why has Mr Rudd committed a Labor government to greenhouse reduction targets?
Laurie...
Haven't you put the cart before the horse? You've set the target before you've assessed the problem and got the facts and figures.
Well, look, the problem's very clear in the sense that...
You say the problem's clear. Labor's already announced its solution. What's the point of an inquiry now?
Well, Laurie, I think...
Surely you do that before you arrive at the solution. Who's gonna say? I thought you'd supported Sir Nicholas Stern the other day when he put that forward.
Well,
that's not answering my question. If this new Stern inquiry finds that these targets would actually have a very negative impact on the Australian economy, would cost jobs, will Labor drop the targets?
Well, Laurie...
Well, I would have thought you'd started your planning on what the report came up with. Now, if it concludes that these targets would have an impact on jobs in Australia, will you drop the targets?
Laurie... I'm an innocent victim, I'm just like you,
Ian. I've been home units with the brick wall view. Mr Garrett, how can you support that?
Well, Laurie...
Can you see why your former supporters think you've sold out? I mean, you did a backflip on American bases on uranium. I mean, it's very elastic conscience, isn't it, Peter?
Well, Laurie, I've taken a big step to join the Labor Party, and when I took that step, and I did it willingly, I accepted that... The US forces
give the nod. But you can't pretend to be a conviction politician, can you?
Well, I mean, that is part of being a team player. I mean...
Mr. Garrett, we thank you.
Thanks, Laurie. Just another particular deal. Ain't no doubt about
it. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Shadow Minister. Time to sign off here and get this. You've got some running to do. You've got to get down to the Will and Limo studios, Mr. Limo.
No, I do. I'm a little bit nervous, but I should get there in time.
All right, good luck to you. And
thank you very much. Thank you for having me, guys.
My pleasure. Glad you could make it.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Plug petitionspot.com.
Oh, yes.
Get on there. Support, get this.
And Out for Justice.
Justice, all good video stores. Get onto that. And Andrew Gay's joining us today on the show.
Oh, lovely.
Excellent.
Fun.
And if you are a Steven Seagal fan, the 7 title set is out now. Only one of them you will have heard of, so that's worth tracking down. Only 10 seconds to go, Mr. Marsden.
Yeah.
Perhaps you have a key phrase.
You're much too beautiful, girl.
Or maybe not. And we'll be back tomorrow with Glenn Robbins. Fantastic. Thank you, Limo.
Thank you.
And thank you, Nissan Navarro, with your huge pulling power, range of gongs and awards, China Hutch, butter churn and clogs. As we know.
Now it's all out and you know.
One, right up the bracket.